Self-improvement, transform the self, let virtue shine. Transform the self, let virtue shine. In the path of Islam, the soul aligns. In the path of Islam, the soul aligns.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabijin. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabijallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to another episode of Self-Improvement, where Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are learning about the matters which are important for our own betterment and through us, inshallah Azza wa Jal, for the betterment around us and as part of a bigger piece to help improve our community, our family, our society, and then inshallah Azza wa Jal, by the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, inshallah, to aim for the betterment of the entire world, insha'Allahul Kareem. So today we'll listen about and inshallah share another one of the key factors, a key driver to help us improve ourselves. But before that, as always, we'll inshallah commence with the virtues of reciting Salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this narration has been mentioned in Sunan Tirmidhi in Kitab al-Witr, volume 2, page 28, and hadith number 486. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, states, "Inna du'a mawqufum bayna as-sama'i wal-ard, la yas'adu minhu shay'un hatta tusalli ala nabiyyika sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Indeed, dua remains suspended between the sky and the earth. Nothing from it ascends until you recite salat upon your prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Subhanallah. A great saying of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. And today, if we look all around us, one of the biggest complaints we hear in our society, in our community, in masjid, in our local circles, is that people would say, somehow my dua does not seem to be answered. So the first misconception which we must clear is that all dua, they are accepted, all duas which are done to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they are indeed answered. However, the manifestation of that dua may be in a different form. And if you want to learn more, then there is a beautiful book from Maktabatul Madina, The Manners of Dua or Adab-e-Dua, which is based on another great book by the respected father of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. His respected father, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, has written this book, Ahsanul Vi'a li Adab al-Dua, a beautiful book that talks about dua in such detail. And inshallah, azza wa jal, if we were to read that, which you can attain through the Dawat Islami's website, we can download it from there. And then inshallah, azza wa jal, there'll be a lot for us to learn. And we'll also hear about the dua and what different forms the acceptance might take. What would it look like? How would it manifest? So many things to learn. But if we refer back to this narration of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he says that dua, it remains suspended between sky and the earth. So this suspension of dua, and how does it ascend? It ascends until it ascends through the recitation of salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we look at Alhamdulillah in the environment of Dawat Islami, and thanks to our Shaykh Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatum Al Aliya, who has given us this religious, this madani mindset, that when we start our dua, we should start it by reciting salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should end our dua by reciting salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, Amir Ahl-Sunnah, he gives us this mindset that whichever litany you read, any incantation, any invocation, any dhikr we do, all of them should be sandwiched between the recitation of Salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An example, of course, with no comparison here, but for us to understand, imagine if someone goes to meet someone and they take a gift, and that gift is beautifully wrapped, it has a nice ribbon on it, and it is then presented in that form, compared to another gift where let's say it's a box of chocolates with no wrapping, with no covering, with no ribbon, none of that. So the difference of the two will be obvious to the person who has been presented with that gift. Now, this dua which we are making to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if we were to think of it as a gift, because this dua is a form of worship. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to worship Him in this beautiful form. It's a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Dua, it is the substance, it's the core of worship. And then dua, ad-du'a'u silahul mu'min, is another hadith of Pak, that dua is a weapon of a believer. So if we think of this great form of worship which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has honored us with, so indeed, if it is actually inviting a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if that is wrapped, is sandwiched between the salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then of course, the gift would look so much more luminous. It would look so much more remarkable compared to the one which has been done without the salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why we should get into the habit, and inshallah, if we stick to the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, if we adhere to it, then inshallah, we'll see every dua which is made through Madani channel, every dua we attend through congregation, we'll see it being sandwiched between the salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then that inshallah will become our habit too. And that wasn't my topic, but that is also a great form of self-improvement, that we make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So perhaps in a different episode, we'll discuss that in more detail. But here, what we need to remember is that this dua, whether it's for self-improvement, whether it is for any purpose, any permissible purpose, we should do it with recitation of salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do so. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Jil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, as I was mentioning earlier, that alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we are learning about another way of helping us improve, of helping us get better. And one of those is pondering over and contemplating the matters of the hereafter. And the first stage of the hereafter is the grave. So that's why I thought it would be quite reasonable for us to focus on that aspect and see what we can actually learn for ourselves. And inshallah, what we are going to share is, we know that this is the way of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit Al-Baqi, which is the graveyard in Madinatul Munawwara. And visiting the graveyard is the practice of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, it's been a practice of the Muslims for centuries to visit the graveyard on special occasions such as Laylatul Qadr, such as Laylatul Bara'ah, on the day of Eid, on Fridays. All of those are great opportunities for us. One, to do Isale Sawab, to convey reward to the deceased ones, but also a great way for us to think about our journey to the hereafter, to that grave, which will then help us think about the matters of the hereafter, and inshallah will give us that drive to change ourselves for the better. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated, hadith from Ibn Majah, Kitab al-Janayz, hadith number 1571, the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated, visit the graves, for indeed they cause you to lose interest in the world and remind you of the hereafter. That's the purpose. That's what we need to do. So if we think about this, if we ponder over these matters of the hereafter, through visiting the graves, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is helping us remind ourselves about our journey, about the ticking clock, about the fact that we have to go and meet our Lord Azza wa Jal and the matters of the hereafter. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Surah Abatha, verses 17 to 23, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ نُطْفَهُ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره. Translation from Kanzul Iman. May the disbelieving man be destroyed. How ungrateful he is. From what did he create him? From a drop of liquid. He created him and then set various measures for him. Then eased the way for him. Then gave him death. Then had him put in the grave. Then when he willed, he resurrected him. Never, he, i.e. the disbeliever, has not yet completed what he was commanded, i.e. the acceptance of faith. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, these seven short verses of the Noble Quran, they beautifully describe our states and the reality of our lives. Today there is strength in our arms. We are in a state of well-being. We are healthy, we possess intellect, we possess cognition, we have mental capabilities, and we hold these different positions, roles in community, in our society, at our work. Whether a person is an engineer, a doctor, a businessman, policeman, soldier, whatever profession he may belong to, whatever business he may participate in, the question arises, what was everyone's beginning? Today, we think about where we are now. And perhaps that gives us, it makes us think the shaitan, our nafs, it makes us think that we have somehow become something, we have become someone important, we have become someone big. But what we need to remember, what these verses of the Quran are reminding us, is that irrespective of our position, our role, our status in community, where did we all start? The Quran reminds us we started as a drop of liquid. Allah Almighty laid down the earth as a spread for us. He raised the sky as a canopy and prepared for us countless bounties even before we entered this world. Then from a drop of liquid, He created a living, breathing, kicking human being and sent him into this world. This is our reality and this is our origin. Now, will we abide forever? No. Allah Almighty says, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَخْبَرَهُ Then gave him death, then had him put in the grave. Soon the angel of death, alayhi salam, will come. The soul will be extracted from the body and our loved ones will lower us into the dark grave and leave. Then is that the end for us? No. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala further says, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ Then when he willed, He resurrected him. So a time will come when the graves will open, the dead will be resurrected and brought in the court of Allah Almighty and the accountability of actions will take place. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the reality. This is where we began. This is where it ends, the stage one. And then there is another stage, the journey and the resurrection on the day of judgment. So death hangs over our heads. The lonely pit of the grave and the terrifying plain of the day of judgment are before us. The angel of death, alayhi salam, when a person's lifespan will come to an end so that he can extract the soul. Sayyidina Israfil, alayhi salam, as the horn raised to his lips, awaiting the command to blow it to signal the onset of the day of judgment. What is our state in all of this? How are we living our lives? Allah Almighty states in further in the same surah, In the next verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Kalla lamma yaqdi ma amarah. Never, he, i.e. the disbeliever, has not yet completed what he was commanded, i.e. the acceptance of faith. So we have been commanded to do what? What's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does He want us to do? Why have we been sent to this world? Why we have been converted from a drop of liquid all the way to a child, and then all through the stages of life, ultimately to do what? We have been commanded to establish the 5 daily prayers, but we don't offer them at all. Of the 12 months, we are obliged to fast for only 1 month in a year, and we are still unable to keep them. The payment of zakat, amounting to just 2.5% or 1/40th of our wealth when the certain conditions are fulfilled, and we still fail to donate it. We have been commanded to do Hajj just once in our entire lifetime if the conditions are met, and yet we don't perform it. So we have been commanded to recite the noble Quran, recite litanies, salawat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance, obey our parents, maintain ties of kinship, have good conduct with neighbors and relatives, control our gaze, restrain our tongue, hand and heart weigh and measure honestly, earn lawful income, and consume halal food. We've been taught how to live our lives, have been given guidance through this complete code of life that is the Holy Quran. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has guided us for every single stage of our life. And our state is such that we still fail to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we remain heedless whilst death, it stands over us. The terrifying pit of the grave, it lies before us. Yet we do not rectify ourselves, we still don't do anything to improve ourselves. All these verses of the Quran, the matters right from the beginning to the end, and the resurrection on the day of judgment, all of that is reminding us that remember, this is the purpose of you. You have been sent here to prepare for it. And you would only do that if you continue to improve yourself, need to continue to think about these things, need to fulfill your obligations. That's the purpose of your creation. So how many times we have seen, if we were all to reflect for a moment, how many times we've actually seen people pass away before our own eyes? As a doctor, how many times I have seen that we still think, we see people going in front of our eyes. What do we think? Dying is easy? No, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, dying is not easy. We may have even shrouded a deceased person. Shrouding someone else is easy, but being shrouded yourself is not. We may have carried a coffin, but lying in a coffin and being lifted is not easy. We may have lowered many people into their graves. Lowering someone else is easy, but being lowered into a grave ourselves is not easy. It is certainly the most difficult affair. And so if we contemplate for a moment, I still remember in the early part of my career, there was this person who was passed on one of the side rooms, on one of the wards in the hospital. And usually a doctor has to go and verify the death before it can be certified, and a formal certification process and the certificate can be issued. And that verification of death, it requires to confirm that the person is not breathing, there is no heartbeat, and all of those conditions which need to be documented. And the junior doctor goes into the side room. It's late at night, the lights are switched off, and there it is, a dead person on the side room, on a medical ward. And this junior doctor goes in by themselves. And the moment they look at that, and as they were trying to listen to the heartbeat to verify that they have passed away, what happens? So the junior doctor, in that moment of panic and stress, just presses a bit hard on the chest, and suddenly they hear the air rushing out of the chest through their mouth. And what's the next thing? The doctor is running out of the side room, saying that, oh, I feel the person is still alive. So that moment, it made me think that just that one moment spent to fulfill a duty on the job for a person whose role and responsibility it is to actually look after dying people, to verify the death, to certify it. And that person is so afraid just because of the rush of air. Do we ever think that how we are going to end? What would happen to us? What would happen to all around us, our own family, our own children? How would they feel? Have I ever contemplated about that? Have I ever thought about that? So how am I going to continue this journey of improving myself when I actually don't even bother for a second? I'm not even worried or concerned for a moment that in what state would I leave this world? In what state would my loved ones will find me as I leave this world? If I had that thought, would I have missed my prayer? If I had that thought, would I have missed an obligatory fast? If I had that thought, would I have deliberately destroyed the foundations of Islam? The pillars of Islam, those five pillars? No, I would not. So what it tells us is that we have forgotten the matters of the grave. We have forgotten our journey to that grave. That's the issue. If we were to contemplate for a moment that imagine that our soul is pulled from our body like a thorny twig is wrenched violently from a bundle of wool. Every single part of our body would be in pain. Pain that would be more intense than the strike of 1,000 swords. In this dire situation, there would be no one to comfort us. Our parents, children, siblings, and close relatives, they would stand by on the sides, unable to aid us, all left staring helplessly. We would be unable to express our pain to anyone, unable to converse, unable to communicate, unable to talk, unable to share. Around us would be sounds of grief and crying. Our wealth, our bank balance, our cars, our homes, our strength, our status, our positions in society and community, our degrees, our qualifications, they would be of no avail. Our clothes will be removed from our bodies, and if they can't remove them, then our own clothes will be cut with scissors to remove them from ourselves, and a new shroud put over us. Our own loved ones will raise us up on their shoulders, lay us in a dark grave, pour soil over us, and depart. We will hear their footsteps, but we will be unable to call them. We would not be able to bring them back. The pain will be like never experienced before, as will the solitude, the isolation of the grave. Yet it won't stop there. These calamities will have just come to pass. We will only would have just arrived in our new abode, in our new home, not yet accustomed to living on our own. The pain of our souls being extracted will still be fresh when suddenly the sides of the graves will begin to shake and two angels will tear through the walls, enter and begin interrogating in a harsh tone. How terrible it will be for us if we are unable to answer their questions correctly. If we fail this test, the fire of hell will be lit in our graves and we will be subjected to punishment. What will become of us? Where will we go? Who will we call for help? Dear brother, do you know that death is before you and will arrive suddenly? Who knows whether it will come upon you by morning or evening, by night or day? Then you will face the terrifying grave, Munkar and Nakir, the two angels, and the day of judgment, in which the adherents of falsehood will face disgrace. Allahu Akbar. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, that's what we need to remember. We need to remember our grave. We need to remember the matters of the grave. That grave, we don't want to go and meet our Lord Azza wa Jal and start our journey to the hereafter in a state that even that piece of land were to turn against us. Yes. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, it's not, we might hear this and we may take heed for a moment and then we are back to our busy lives. We're still not contemplating, we're still not thinking. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, that's what we need to do. We need to remember these matters of the grave because they are upon us. The clock is ticking. We are soon to depart of this world and that will be our home. And that will be our home for how long? Hundreds of years? Thousands of years? We don't know. So what preparation have I made? And if I don't have this mindset to continue to improve myself, to get myself better and better so that when I get to the grave, I'm in a much better position to where I am today, then the risk is that we may be amongst the forgotten ones. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, that's why we need to be constantly reminded. That's why we need to think about this. That is a drive. That could be a motivation. That's what changed the lives of so many because they thought about the matters of the grave. That's why our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to the graveyard, would look at the grave and would cry to an extent that even the earth would be wet with the blessed tears of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? To teach us that that is how you prepare for it. That's how you think about it. So my dear viewers, Madani channel, if we want to make ourselves better, if we want our journey, if we want this process to improve, to have a better outcome, then what we need to do is to do something different, is to think about this matter of the hereafter. All of this, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has guided us in the noble Quran. The sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the shining example for us. The way of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're openly inviting us, reminding us that needs to be a drive, needs to be a factor amongst your considerations if you want to get better and improve oneself. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to act upon what we have learned. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to think about our own grave, how would we end, and what preparations we have made for that final journey as well. And inshallah, if we stay in the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, we will get these reminders and inshallah, we'll continue to improve ourselves. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept everything which we have shared today. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Jalameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stay tuned for the next episode. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Self-improvement. Transform the self. Let virtue shine. Transform the self. Let virtue shine. In the path of Islam, the soul aligns. In the path of Islam, the soul aligns.